Why were everyone laughing last week on that one? Like, I was asking my daughter, why is it, was that one funny? I thought it was like draggy, that's why I was laughing, but why are you laughing? Is that why? It won't end. It was like 40 seconds, it's just a boring one. Sorry, you can't get an A intro every time, man. Dang. Well, hello. Glad you guys are joining at church. I'm so glad to see you all. Whenever I tell my friend Charles, who's our security guy, whenever I tell him good to see you, he always replies with this phrase. He says, it's good to be seen. And I was like, dude, that's such a cool phrase. I love that phrase. And so, you know what? It's good to see you all this morning, but do you know who really sees you? The God of the universe. And I want you to know that this morning, that he's looking right at you, and he's loving you right where you are, even if you don't feel lovable. God is saying, I love you, and he sees you this morning in the best possible way. So let's share our church mission statement aloud together. Ready to do that? So what do? We love God and we love others. Amen. That's what we're doing as a church. Yeah, there's no second part today. Oh, got them. So over the last couple of weeks, we've been in a series called Light. God, that's such an awkward service already, huh? That's awesome. In the last 3 weeks, in the third week today, we've been talking about this series titled Light, where we first discussed that God is light. It's part of who he is in terms of his perfection and his goodness and his purity. And then last week, we were talking about God's light shines into our life so that he makes us good and pure as well. And then he actually calls us children of light. We're looking at that. And today, we're going to see once that we have that, once we know that we worship the God of light, his light comes in us, it cleanses all of our darkness that's inside, then we get to shine that light outwardly to other people. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, how God is going to use us to shine his light towards other people that are on this planet. Jesus says it quite clearly as recorded in Matthew chapter 5. Here's what Jesus says. He says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So Jesus gives the Christians both a compliment and a great responsibility at the beginning. When he says, you are the light of the world, this is an incredible compliment. Why? Do you remember, as recorded in John, one of the titles Jesus refers to himself as, he says, I am the light of the world. And so when Jesus says, he says, I'm the light of the world, I've come to give salvation to all people, and then now he's going to say, hey, you know what? Once you receive that, you are the light of the world. You get to, like, Jesus is here, and he's like, no, you're coming up to here. He's exalting you in this most honorable way to say, now you are the light of the world. It's an incredible compliment, but it comes with a responsibility. The responsibility is that as the light of the world, you are to shine to those other people who don't have the light, who are in darkness, who are in this world. Light of the world means that we are not only light receivers, but we're light sharers and shiners and bearers, that we reflect it off. Just like the sun, I didn't learn until late in life, like probably about 35, and I love the night sky. I didn't realize that the moon has no light itself. Did you know that? The moon has no light. It just reflects the sun. So all you're seeing in the moon is just a reflection. Without the sun, it's absolutely dark. I was like, I didn't even know that. You know, I know. I was shocked. And I didn't learn that till, I don't know why I didn't think about it. I didn't learn that till later in life. And I love the night sky. So, yeah, I don't know. So that's pretty wild. That's what we are. We are the moon in this situation. God is the light source. And ultimately, we reflect it, and it's beautiful, and it's amazing, and it's important. And the full moon at night gives such bright light. And that's what we are, a reflection of God's light. Christians must have greater concern than only for ourselves and living for ourselves. We must reflect God's light onto other people. And light is needed because the world is in darkness. And if our Christianity imitates the darkness or acts like the darkness, then we have nothing to show to the world. To be effective, we must seek and display the light of Christ. We can never affect the world for Jesus by becoming like the world. Light must be displayed. I was reading this really cool kind of analogy that I came upon as I was preparing for this. It says this: imagine a guy is in a sunny room and he really enjoys the sunshine so much that he wants to keep it all for himself. And so he says to himself, I'm going to shut the curtains so no one else can get any of this light. But what happens when he shuts the curtains? The light goes out. He puts himself back into darkness. When we try to hoard up the light from God within ourselves, we try to just keep it for us, it's like shutting that curtain. Not only will it not reflect to other people, but it will actually become dark inside. We will certainly lose the light of God if we try to hoard it for ourselves and not share it with others like we are supposed to. And Christ knew that there'd be a temptation for people who had the light to hide the light for many reasons. Maybe we're worried about persecution, probably not in this country, but in other countries, I can imagine, like, if my life was in danger, I might be tempted to hide my light a little bit. For here, maybe it's embarrassment, or you'll be ostracized by your friends, or like you'll be that weird Christian person at school, or maybe there's a lot of culture pressures not to, and then you're not supposed to say anything at work and all this kind of stuff. There's all sorts of reasons. But all those worries, though, are just Satan's attempt to dissuade you from shining the light of Christ, because Satan hates the light. He hates the light of God. He hates the light of God in you. And he hates that you bear God's light. And he hates when you share that light. And so all that sort of other guilt and worries and these kind of other thoughts, they're not from God. Those are from Satan to try to stop you from sharing God's light with those that are around you. So Jesus compares our lives to a city that's set on a hill. It can't be hidden. It's obvious. It's prominent. Have you ever come over the 15, you're going to Vegas? You're coming over the 15, and maybe especially in the night, I don't know if it works in the day, but in the night, if you're coming down the 15 going towards Vegas, and all of a sudden you start to see the lights of Vegas come up, and as you get closer and closer, they're brighter and brighter. You can't take your eyes off it. It's like it's the only thing. It's a desert everywhere else. It's dark for hours and hours, and then all of a sudden there's like, in the middle of the desert, all this light shining out. That's what Jesus is talking about. You can't take your eyes off it. It's obvious. That's what our Christian life has to be like. In the middle of darkness and desert, everyone's right and left, and they see you. You're like this, Now, without the sin, Vegas without the sin, right? Like, Vegas, maybe not a great analogy, but just the light part of Vegas, not the what stays in Vegas, not that part, but the good part, right? Jesus wanted the people of his kingdom to live visible lives that attract people to the beauty of God. The idea of putting your lamp is intentionality. So the city doesn't mean to be bright, but then he says, you need to not mean to be bright. That needs to be a natural outcome of who you are. But also there's an intentionality where you light a lamp so that you can get light and shine it in areas of darkness. He says you're both of those. You're the city who once God's light is in you, it's got to be obvious and huge and everybody sees it. But also you got to be intentional about taking your lamp and shining it over in this darkness and bringing it over here. You know, if ever you're going to your trash can, you take a light flashlight with you. You use your phone light to make sure there's no possums over there or something like that. Right? You got to be intentional about sharing your light as well. In verse 16, the last part of this, we see three things must occur together. Your light shines, they see your good deeds, and they glorify God in heaven. These three must be connected. If you have the first one without the following two, that means you're just a really good person, but nobody notices, and this isn't useful for God's kingdom at all. Now, what if you have the first two, but you don't have the third? The first two, then people will realize that, so you're a really good person. People see you being a good person, and they believe you, wow, that person's such an angel. They're such a good person. But that's actually not useful for God's kingdom. It's only when you have all three that you are a good person, that people know it, they see it, and they recognize it, but they recognize it not because of you, but they recognize it because of God, and they glorify God in heaven. Everyone likes the first two. Non-believers like the first two. Every one of you Christians are comfortable with the first two. I bet every one of you Christians do the first two almost always. Everyone wants to be a good person. Everyone wants others to notice that they're a good person. But for believers, that's not enough. If you've been stopping at the first two your whole life, you have to make a change. Let this next statement sting a little bit if it has to. I don't say a lot of stingy statements all the time, but here's another one.
if God is not noticed or highlighted in the process of you being a good person, then you are not fulfilling what Jesus asks. I'm scared to say that I think our reality is that we will say this kind of statement. I don't always talk about Jesus at work, but I show love and kindness to everyone. And so I'm sharing the love of God with them through the way I treat them. End of statement. The problem is, they don't know you're doing that because of God in your life. They don't know that you're doing that because of Christ in your life. If you're doing that without, if you're doing the first two without the third, you're just a moralist. You're just a really nice person. But it's not actually a witness for Christ. Then it's not glory to God. And it's not useful for his kingdom. Oh, Pastor, I'm telling to be a bad person, not a good person. No, I'm not. I'm saying you got to have all three. It takes intentionality to make sure that the third is understood by the first two. You've got to guide people to this conclusion with your words. And so maybe the good deeds are the hook, but there's got to be a words or an explanation when they say, oh, that's really nice of you. And you say, thanks. Then you got to add something else. You got to say, it's not me. I'm a horrible person, but it's God in my life. And then they can say, see, then they can give glory to God. What happens if you don't do that? Who gets glory? You do. Oh, man, that's a dangerous place to be. You're good. They see it. They say you're great. You say thanks. In your heart, all that's been exalted is you. In their minds, all that's been exalted is you. Christ has not been, and God's kingdom has not been, and God's glory has not been brought. Now, if they know, well, they know I'm a Christian, I have a cross. Madonna used to wear a cross. I think like every rapper wears a cross. That doesn't gonna help them like give glory to God. Come on, you know. Like, well, they probably know. Well, then the probably know is not good enough. And I know, like, we're so many times in my own life, and I bet in all of our lives, we've stopped at the first two because we're scared. We're scared to say anything. Shining your light isn't an excuse not to talk about Jesus. Shining your light is the excuse to talk about Jesus. The moment that they notice that you did something good, that's your moment. You want to know when the Holy Spirit's speaking to you? When you should say something to someone? That moment where they say, hey, that was really nice of you. Oh, hey, thanks for the flowers. Oh, thank. Oh, I really appreciate that you covered me last week when I couldn't get to that meeting. Thank you for this. Oh, man, I appreciate you letting me cheat off your test, you know? Like, thanks for that. That was really nice. No, don't let them cheat off your test, but maybe help them with their homework. And the moment that they say that, that's the moment that the words have to come in. If they don't come in, you're the one exalted, not God. He says, oh, I'm not good with words. Neither were the disciples. They said that. Jesus said, I'll always give you words to speak. Even if they drag you in front of court, you don't know what to say, you don't know how to defend yourself, the Holy Spirit will come and give you words to speak. If you don't know any of the words, just say, it's all God, like in a cool way or something. I don't know. Like, you got to do it your way. Sometimes, like once every 6 weeks or something, someone will come and give me a compliment after a service. They'll say, Pastor Sam, that was a really good sermon. And I'm so tempted to say, like, thanks, because I'm a, like, words of encouragement person. So I was like, oh, hold that one. But almost always I try to. I don't know. Sometimes I forget if I ever forgot with you. But I almost try to say, it's really just all God, because it is all God. He lets me speak his word. But if I don't reflect it back to him or give the honor to him, then I'm not doing what Jesus says. They have to be able to glorify our Father in heaven by our good actions. Look, the Bible's not just asking you to display your religion, but to display your light, which is life to a dying world. And I'll tell you, in this passage, your pastor is not the light. You're the light. I'm not at your work. I'm not in your home. I'm not sitting by the other kids that you have in your classes. Share Jesus in all those places and at the parties and when you're in the bleachers with the other parents watching your kids play sports. Or on the plane when someone's stuck next to you. Sucker, you're hearing about Jesus. This is an 8-hour flight. You are in trouble, bro. I'll pay for your snacks. Hey, thanks. Oh, you said thanks to me. That's my moment to talk about Jesus. Share Jesus at all those places. Every day we have opportunity to share the light in our deeds, but also with our words. Now, is this outward sharing of light only for the benefit of non-believers? I'll say no. It's for both believers and non-believers, and I think the scripture is really clear. This next verse specifically shows that it's for non-believers. In Acts chapter 13, it's recorded this, "For the Lord gave us this command when he said, 'I have made you a light to the Gentiles, to bring salvation to the farthest corners of the earth.'" This gives us eternal purpose. We walk in light not for us, but for others, to share Jesus with our words and our actions. We get to be part of God's salvation plan for the world. You know, God isn't going to show up on tear open the heavens and show up to all these people. He's not going to show up in form to all these people. What is he going to show up in? In your life, in your body, when you go, when you share, when you talk. You are the mechanism in which God will bring salvation to the world. What an incredible purpose and mission and powerful reason to be alive and to share Jesus because he's asked you to. We get to be part of God's salvation plan to the world. I'm happy to announce in our summer missions program, we just closed the applications on Sunday, we had 18 people that decided to go for our Thailand summer missions. And they'll be going to one of the farthest corners of the earth this summer to share salvation with people. I mean, the place we go is on the border of Laos and Thailand. It's in the village. You take a plane, you take another plane, you take a third plane, you take a van, and then you arrive. They even have electricity, so it's all good. They have toilets-ish, you know, like, sort of. No toilet paper, you got a sprayer, but, you know, it's all good. One of the furthest places on earth. This is the largest group that JRC has ever sent to summer missions is going this summer. And I'll be 100% honest, it's going to take the largest financial sacrifice that we've ever given to send those 18 missionaries. Our sponsor service is in 1 month. And I'm going to ask that all 18 of those people get a sponsor and more. If you're a sender, and you'll know that you're a sender because you didn't apply. Those are the goers. If you didn't turn in your missions application, the rest of you that this is your church, you are a sender. And if you're a sender, I'm going to ask for an incredible gift of spirit of generosity from you so that together as a church we can fulfill this command that Jesus is talking about and be a light to the Gentiles and bring salvation to the furthest corners of the earth. Do you want to know another of the farthest corners of the earth? Irvine. It is. Earth's a sphere, so you know. Irvine, Tustin, Brea, Fullerton. Yep. This passage is for missions, but it's also for Monday. Oh, you like that one? That's my inner Rick Warren right there. This passage is for missions, but it's also for Monday. At work, at school, at home, at the supermarket, at the gym, on the dreaded freeway. The objective of shining your light isn't that others could see how good you are or even see you at all, but that they may see God's grace in you and they may see God's face in you and that they may come to salvation in him. That's the whole point of shining Christ to non-believers. Here at this church, we call this love others. It's in our mission statement that we just said. And it includes non-believers. The next passage indicates that shining our light is also for believers. Here's how the Apostle John writes it in 1 John 1. If we claim to have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in the darkness, we lie, and we're not living out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So the work that Jesus does on the cross not only deals with the guilt of our sin, but it deals with the brokenness that happened in fellowship or connection to other people. So Jesus dies on the cross. It pays for our sin, but it also opens up the avenue so that we can connect to people in a real, honest, authentic, true way, that we can connect to them in the light. Jesus solves both the problem of sin and broken fellowship by dying on the cross for us. John speaks of, like, if anyone walks in darkness, and he's not talking about a single moment where maybe a Christian messed up, but a pattern of walking in the darkness. The issue here is fellowship, not salvation. The Christian who temporarily, like, messes up in the darkness, then they're not living in the light, obviously. They're not walking according to what how God wants them to walk. And if they claim to be in fellowship with God, yet they're walking in darkness, then that's just not true. You can't have it both ways. If you're walking with God, you won't be walking in darkness. God, he's not compatible with the darkness. He's incompatible. Now, this leads to a really interesting idea if you look at this verse carefully. If we don't have fellowship with one another, then one party or both parties are not walking in the light. Isn't that interesting? If you don't have fellowship with other Christians, that means either you're not walking in the light or they're not walking in the light. So two Christians who are in a right relationship with God will also naturally be in a right relationship with one another. This might speak into our marriages. If you're having, you know, if you're not in right fellowship in your marriage, that means probably either one end or both of you are walking in the dark. No, you're not acting according to the light. Well, that's a heavy thing. But it also then puts this incredible, like, interesting idea about our church. It makes church even more important, because church is our primary mechanism for fellowship with believers and the fulfillment of this passage. Choosing to live in the light allows us a deep connection with other people who are also in the light. And here at this church, we call this love others. It's in our mission statement. It means that we ought to love other believers. So our love others in our mission statement covers both believers and non. Practically, there are two parts to loving believers and having fellowship with other believers. The two parts are you better not hate them, and you've got to actively love them. John explains it this way in the same 1 John in chapter 2, though. He says, anyone who claims to be in light, but they hate their brother and sister, they're still in darkness. So hate for a brother belongs in the realm of the darkness, not of the light. So if you got hate for a Christian, like brother or sister, then you're not fully walking in the light. And if you hate your brother in Christ, then you can't possibly love your neighbor, or even especially love your enemy, if you can't even love like another person who's in the light, who's a Christian. And if you have any sense of this towards someone, another believer, you got to fix the situation. You have to resolve the situation. And here's four steps in order to resolve that situation. The first thing you have to do is you got to begin by praying. Because if you have darkness or you have hate towards another brother or sister in Christ, you have hate towards them in your heart, the first thing you got to do is pray, because it's a problem within your own heart. You got to pray about it. And the next thing you have to do is you have to ask God to open up your heart to that person, because you don't want to open it up yourself. You got the hate. You're mad. You're angry. They hurt you. They disappointed you. They said mean things. There are all sorts of reasons, because we're among broken, fallen people. So I begin by praying, and then I ask God to open my heart, and then I forgive them whether or not they want it. I forgive them before I even approach them. Isn't that wild? Before they even ask for forgiveness, I got to forgive them. Maybe they've passed away. Maybe you don't have contact with them. You got to forgive them in your heart. And then the last part, you go and talk to them in love. It's got to be done in love. If you can't do it in love, then don't do it. Go back to step one. Pray, and then ask God to open your heart. And then forgive them. Because once you've done those three, then you can approach them in love. If you haven't done the first three, you're not going to approach them in love. You're going to approach them to unload or to start a fight or to get stuff off your mind or your shoulders, that kind of thing. It's imperative that we have right relationships with those that walk in the light if we want to follow the scriptures. But there's a flip side, or a positive side to it. It says anyone who loves their brother or sister, they live in the light. And there is nothing in them that's going to cause them to stumble. Living in the light always leads to loving the people of God. Of course, all Christians are in mind, but we can't love all Christians in reality. In reality, the circle of our Christian relationships is quite smaller, especially if this is your church. If you've been coming here for more than, we'll say, 3 weeks, then look to your left and look to your right. Look behind you really fast. Look in front of you. That's about your circle of Christian fellowship. Those next to you this morning ought to be receiving your light and your love. If we want to shine our light, we shine it to non-believers, yes, but we also shine it to believers. And who are the believers? They're the ones right next to you. This is your church family. This is the body that he's brought you into if you've come here just for any amount of time. At this church, we call that circles. Anytime that you're with a smaller group of people, anytime that you're around those people who have a 360 degree, anytime you're looking at them instead of looking up here, right? In our church, we call this rows, where you guys are in rows, like public services like this. Circles is whenever you get together to play basketball, whenever you get together to have like a tea, I think is happening on, oh, so cool, whenever you got together to have a baby shower, whenever you get together to go to small group, or you go to verse by verse, or you go to a marriage seminar. These are all things that are circles. And I think it's the primary place where we get to give and receive love. It's the primary place where we get to share our light, where we get to fulfill this verse. Anyone who claims to be in light loves the other verse, the love one, the 2:10. Anyone who claims to be in the light loves their brother and sister. I think most of you do this really well already. I think there's a clear demonstration in our church that you are walking in the light by your love for one another within this community. It's both formal in some of our programs, like the verse by verse and stuff, but it's also super informal. Like whenever you invite folks to dinner, which is like all the time. I hear all the time that someone is going to someone else's house for dinner or someone is going to meet up for lunch. It happens when you pray for and with people just informally in the lobby, or you call them up and say, hey, I'm praying for you. You text them a word of encouragement. It's when you're sharing life together. I know a bunch of our people go on vacation together, and I think that's the most like beautiful thing, that it's not just a church relationship, but like, oh, hey, let's go on a family vacation together. I think that is so cool. And I want to encourage you to keep it up. That's one of the things I think our church is known for and we want to stay known for, that we love one another and we demonstrate this verse that God's light is in us as we love one another. Being in a circle with people who are walking in the light, that's powerful. It's making connection and community, which God both values and commands. Our light shines to non-believers and believers alike. It's a reflection of God's attitude of love toward the world. It's us reflecting that, because God loves the world, and then we're just reflecting that out. God, I know you love the world, so I love the non-believers. God, I know you love the world, so I love the believers. I'm just the moon. I'm just reflecting God's love. We are God's reflection to the world and everyone in it. So I think living in the light allows us an incredible personal benefit. Living in the light changes our souls. It allows us to walk free from sin. But it also gives us a responsibility to share the light of God to those that are around us. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit's power to do that. Today, this week, and moving forward in life, on missions and on Monday. Would you guys stand with me right now? And we're going to pray over yourself, and then we're going to close in a worship song. Would you pray this? God, I want to reflect you to people, believers and non. God, I don't want to shut the curtains so that I don't enjoy the blessing of you and then others can't enjoy the blessing of you. God, many times I have just spoken, I've just shown the light, but I haven't bothered to connect it to you. Help me to make those connections. I'm so scared to do it. It's okay to confess that out. God, I've never done that. I'm so shy. I'm so embarrassed. I'm so worried. Tell God those things and then ask for his power of the Holy Spirit. And so someone this week is going to say, hey, thanks a lot for that. And you're going to have that moment where you get to say, you're welcome, but it's because God's so good. I can only do it because God is my light. Would you pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to allow you to let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.